You don't even have to jump in. Just go ahead and do it.
I've already jumped.
Jump in's a banned word, remember, Kenny?
You feel like you got to jump a lot. We banned that phrase.
All right.
I'm pro jumping in.
I will slowly back out and then proceed back in and say...
Welcome to New Game Plus. You're listening to a retro gaming podcast where three guys spend 7 days playing one old game and then we talk about it. My name's Dustin.
My name's Kenny.
I'm Nolan.
And this is retro recap number 7.
That's a lot of retro recap.
No, it's not.
It's very few.
Under 10.
That's a lot.
It's honestly under 8 if you check the math.
Okay, well, that's true, but if you only do one every 20 or 30 episodes, it's like we've been podcasting for 190 episodes or something. That's a long time.
To have a podcast, but again, going back to the original thing, it's not a lot of retro recaps.
No, we waited.
I mean, literally seven of them.
Irregardless is not a word?
It is.
It's not a word.
Yes, it is.
Regardless. No, regardless. I thought it was a word, but it's not.
Don't make me look it up.
Don't make me act a fool. We typically do a weekly episode on a new old game, but every 20 episodes
or so,
we record a special episode like this one.
Yeah. It's our chance to be a little bit doubly retrospective. It's already retro games.
Ooh, it's a retrospective of the retro games.
Yeah. It's we just call it the spective. The retros cancel each other out. It's our chance to look back at games we've already played, to see if our feelings about them stay the same, to reminisce a little bit about what we think of the game now that time has passed, to tell each other that we were wrong about our opinions, and to maybe onboard you onto the show if you didn't get a chance to catch up or you want to learn about all the things that are going on. Kind of just a cool way of keeping everything orderly and giving us a chance to change up the pace a little bit.
Now, we've already said that we typically do this retro recap every 20 episodes or so. Typically, we go a little bit more than that based on schedule, and we purposefully do it like we did last time, or it just gets out. We forget about it since it's so infrequent. This time, it got a little bit out of control.
Is this the worst one so far?
This is by far the worst.
Yeah,
it is.
We've been overdue.
I was listening to episodes to prepare for this, and I was like, I still have like 10 episodes left, and I'd been listening for a long time.
32 episodes and 32 games.
That's almost two retro recaps worth.
If you
round up really generously, we just missed one altogether.
I feel like you're not the best with numbers if 7 is a lot and 32 is 40.
Listen, you were impressed with my quick maths earlier, so take it.
Another thing that makes this particular episode unique is that we are recording this episode live at the beginning of our 24-hour live stream.
That just ups the ante a little bit.
We've got to be super professional. And we're looking in chat right now, like we got a good number of people in here, our friends that are hanging out with us as a part of this 24-hour live stream. They'll probably all be gone by the time we finish recording the retro recap,
which is my block right after.
Nah,
and I'll be alone
staying
for
up late and supporting me in my early morning gaming.
Well,
sorry.
I would love to hear all of your opinions on the games that we're talking about live as we're talking about. Because this is coming out as an episode a couple weeks from now, we're not going to be able to respond back to you on air, but we'll definitely read it and appreciate it. Before we start going through the episodes, I've got a few stats for you. I typically gather these so that you can kind of know where we've been, what we've been playing.
Oh, yeah.
Out of the last 32 games, 18 of them we gave New Game Plus status. 14 we did not. So this is probably the most in any given period that we've given that many. I think we've had more Patreon pulls than ever before, though.
That's for
sure.
Yeah,
we have, which should say probably skew that up.
Yeah, because they put in classics or terrible ones. And so the class, I feel like we had a lot of big hits in this round of 32.
Yeah, and we had some like special guest episodes and stuff that is going to just make it likely for that to happen, I think, or at least a little bit more. I still think that's a pretty good split.
Out of all of the 32 games that we played, and we're including, by the way, Resident Evil this week, not saying what we're giving it. We haven't recorded that episode yet, but it will be before Retro Recap 7 comes out. But out of all of the games we played in the last 32 episodes, the last 32 games, what do you guys think is the oldest game that we played?
Oh, shoot. Wizards and Warriors and Wizards? Wizards and Warriors?
Wizards of Waverly Place?
Yeah,
I feel like we played something that was like pre-NES era. But maybe not.
I'm trying to look in chat, see it. Someone is right.
Karnov?
January of 1987, the arcade classic, Karnov came out.
Really?
Huh. I was going to guess Karnov.
That's the Russian with the nice pants. And then the most recent game we played out of the last 32.
Oh, It Lurks Below.
That doesn't count.
It Lurks Below came out like a couple weeks ago. Yes. Okay, besides that.
Ooh, maybe.
What does everyone think?
Yeah.
Ratchet and Clank?
Oh, it looks like you maybe just saw someone in chat, Kenny.
No, I don't have chat.
That's
up.
Actually the answer, guessing. Though. Because I remember us being like, this game's not old enough.
Ratchet and Clank is the answer. If not, if we weren't including the game that we're currently playing, Resident Evil, which is the newest game, they both came out in the year 2002. Right. I believe.
Dang, this is
weird. And so Resident Evil, the GameCube remake is the most recent one out of the last 32. The longest episode out of the last 32?
The longest episode? Like,
time.
I'm going to say a guest episode, and I'm going to say David Brevik?
Yeah, it Lurks.
One hour and 22 minutes. It was not RuneScape. It was David Brevik, 1 hour and 22.
Yes.
Oh, wow. We went a really long time.
We did. And then the after that, because that was a guest episode. So what episode that was not a guest episode?
Right. This is just going to be a wild guess.
Mindhunter.
You just randomly guessing?
Wait, did he get it?
He's looking through SoundCloud trying to. He didn't.
How is it cheating to have our list of games at my fingertips?
Nolan, what do you think?
I think I'm just going to guess and say Lego Racers.
No. Kenny, what do you think? Symphony of the Night.
Symphony of the Night was 59 minutes and 21 seconds.
That one was hard to fit in an actual episode length.
What do you think the shortest game that we played in the last 32? Shortest episode, excuse
Lego
me.
Lego Racers.
Rugrats?
Kenny's quick scroll paid off on this one. It was Rugrats Totally Angelica.
He's looking
like
so
we just
hard.
Don't have anything to talk about in that episode.
I'll give you very quickly the most played system this go around was the PlayStation with 9 games.
Wow.
Whoa, that's
the least
cool.
played system is a lot of them, not including the systems we didn't play.
Arcade.
But we only played one for the Nintendo 64, one for the Famicom Disk System. That's not a surprise. One for the Dreamcast, one for the Sega Saturn, one for the SNES, and one for the TurboGrafx-16.
Huh. I would have thought that arcade would be in that list too, but maybe we had a couple arcades in there.
No, we played a couple of arcade titles, I think.
Yeah, there are just so many ports arcades to keep track of. I forget what the original system is for these games.
Yeah, especially when there's 47 games that we're thinking back on. It really is hard to keep track.
So we did play 32 games over the last 32 weeks. And now we're going to just quickly go through and talk about our memories of the game, our memories of the episode. We're going to spend a short amount of time on each because we've got a lot to go through.
A whole bunch.
All right, let's do it. The first game in this set of retro recap games is Pokemon Pinball, which was an interesting episode to start on because Kenny was absent for class that day. He was, I guess, at the lake.
I don't know. There were so in these last 32, Kenny was gone often. There were a couple of good reasons. And so we don't need to troll him much because I don't remember which ones they were on. And then a couple of like just I was at the lake or we'd never know where he is.
He had an absence.
Is a really, really strong word.
You were gone a lot.
I did catch up with you on total absences from the show. You had the title for that for a long time.
I think he's.
You caught up and then surpassed me.
Well, sure. I mean, I try and excel at
everything. I, on the other hand, have never missed an episode, including Pokemon Pinball, which sucked.
It was a Game Boy Color game, and it came with a battery-powered rumble pack in the game cartridge. Do you recall that?
Yeah, it was heavy, too. I remember my friend having it.
Kind of an amazing concept, except you don't get a lot of that today unless you have the OG hardware, which many people don't have.
Right, right. And
it was cool because you had two different tables, the red table and the blue table, which were slightly different. But what was not cool is that it went from one screen to the next. Kenny, you did the first play.
Yeah. Oh, it was the worst.
You hated it more than all of us, but you didn't even get to talk about it with it.
Yeah, no, I really... The idea of a pinball... My supposition at this point was that there's not possible to do a pinball game that jumps two screens and have it be good. I was later proved wrong.
Well, you just said that jumps two screens. I think that wasn't, that's still the same.
No, I'm saying I can't stick by that supposition by the time we get later into this retro recap even.
Spoiler alert. No, I think you can, because I don't think that it switches screens. Either way, my presupposition after this game was that you can't take pinball out of the arcade.
Yeah.
Because you can't mimic that right. That was my presupposition at this time.
Yeah, and I was kind of with you, though I feel like I wasn't as cruel to it as you were. Did I gave this new game plus, huh?
Maybe, but it didn't ultimately get our vote.
No, it didn't. But it, and rightly so, it shouldn't. I just think that I remembered playing it.
You just
like
Pokemon or something?
Kind of. These days, I don't even know anymore.
Pokemon Sleep. We left Pokemon Pinball behind and jumped into King's Field. This is a PlayStation title.
I love all the time that Kenny talks, it's like he's asking a question and not sure. He's like,
it came out in the next thing that we're gonna do.
Game, it was so long ago, 3,700 episodes back.
I will say that this is, out of all the games that we played, this is one of the ones that I didn't remember most.
Really?
Until me too. Until I saw the images and some of it started to come back. It was the precursor to Dark Souls.
Yeah, right. It's the great grandfather of the series.
Yeah, so this is first person. You're running around getting slain by monsters. I was going to say trying to slay monsters, but mostly they're just killing you all the time.
Oh, yeah. You're the one that's getting beat for sure. They're super strong. It's not the best battle system. It's always like what move up, hit, back. It was like this strafing thing that you had to keep doing. The graphics were poorly done. It was before joysticks, so you had no control of camera or anything. It was rough.
However, it really set the tone for the series and was their start into kind of their vision into what they saw the Souls game being. The battle system was pretty atrocious. It was seriously just dancing back and forth, which wasn't fun after hours of playing. But I still found redeeming qualities. I thought the exploration and the level design was there. So it was pretty good.
The next game that we played was a Patreon pool episode, and it was Wizard of Oz.
Yeah.
It was the very first game that Dear Baby, one of our newest producers, submitted to the Patreon pool, and it instantly got picked. And Kenny told us the premise that a hurricane took out Dorothy, you know?
Yeah, it was a giant hurricane.
A hurricane, I think someone else called it. No, it was a tornado. Twister.
It was a tornado. Yeah, Kenny got stuck calling it a hurricane.
I misspoke and Dustin likes making fun of me for it.
No, but over and over again, and I hate making fun of you. It's the worst thing ever.
It's really the least entertaining part of our podcast.
Making fun of you?
Yeah.
Is this game better than the movie?
Yes.
No! No! And you know that, Kenny.
Of course, I know that.
I'll sick Dear Baby on you. And you are not
platformer?
Look at her floating.
Yeah, platformer, and you just go around and kick everything. And it's one of those games, it's a pet peeve of mine when in games, they don't... The game doesn't deserve to be. And so they know that it's a video game. You got to fight something. So they just throw animals at you and you kick birds and bees and butterflies. And the only thing you don't kick in this game is a dog because freaking Toto is your partner.
Yeah. And the only like change from area to area is just one main color palette, like all purple, all green. It was just a whack and boring game.
I will say the idea of like the different characters having different skills and doing different things was always kind of fun. Stop. But like their implementation of it was so terrible. It was almost like you got benefits, but then you got so much punishment for picking those characters too that what should have been a perk wasn't even a perk.
Kenny, at the time, you said that Wizard of Oz was the worst game that you've played on the podcast so far.
Does that hold up?
Do you still feel that looking back on it now, or has that dissipated some?
I think because it was so bad, I repressed the game a little bit. Like
I forgot it too.
Yeah, literally. I think I try not to think about it because it really was super, super bad. We've played some bad games since then, but I don't think we've played a game on that level of bad. I mean, maybe we'll come across one that I can't think of, but I think it probably still deserves the title. Yeah.
Either way, Wizard of Oz didn't get our vote for New Game Plus status. It was a complete no across the board.
Next up is another really bad game, in my opinion. It's called Dragon Ball GT Final Bout, and it's a fighting game. It's a 3D fighting game with a third Z-plane. It's not just left and right like Street Fighter.
A Z-plane that y'all didn't know about.
I know about it.
You didn't know about it when we recorded the episode. Y'all were like, no, it's not 3D. And I was like, yes, it is.
I didn't. And that's important because the game was not clear. It did not make that fact clear. And so they failed in making a 3D game. It's a 2D game. Fight me. Final Bout.
I mean, that's kind of the whole point, right?
Nice, no, Kenny. They wanted to do a 3D Tekken style, and it's Bandai Namco, so that's their thing. But this game just was, the inputs were so laggy, so boring.
Like, but you like Dragon Ball a whole lot.
Even then, it's almost like, why'd y'all do this to my favorite show?
But this isn't even Dragon Ball or Dragon Ball Z. This is the next one that a lot of people already didn't like. And in this game, if I recall, most of the characters are not even from GT. It's from Dragon Ball Z. It's just, and the voice acting is bad, and the fighting is bad. Everything about it is bad.
Yeah.
It's the slowest fighting game I've ever played.
Yeah, super slow. That's what bugged me the most. You can't do a fighting game like that.
It was our final episode of 2018, and it was a poor ending to the year. We all said no, it did not get our vote for New Game Plus status.
Worst year ever.
But then 2019 started, and we went from a fighting game to a rap game. So we had the PlayStation title Parappa the Rapper.
We may have started the year or ended the year poorly, but we started the year.
Started it so, so very right.
With a banger. I gotta believe.
You gotta believe.
I just can't believe. Do you remember just the charm and the humor and the silliness? The thing that was amazing about the game this week is that it was the first true rhythm game. Before this game, there was none.
Yeah, I still find that hard to believe.
It is hard to believe. Lie. It started a genre. It did. You can't argue with
you
that.
You gotta believe.
Do your research.
Okay. Will never do research. Secondly, this game shouldn't have been successful, and it wasn't, right? It was a cult classic.
It came back later, I think.
Yeah. Right. It's just weird. It's a very weird
kick,
game.
Kick, punch, block. You know, I still remember it.
It's a super weird game. But I'm with you, Dustin. Even though the music, we didn't play this game that long, it shouldn't be internalized, I still randomly have some of these songs pop into my head. Because just, catchy and fun.
The weird. funky flow. Yeah, the car when he's getting his license or something, and she's like, "You got to close the door." Oh, yeah. Like, you see,
that Nolan, was the funniest one.
And how the stages changed based on how well you were doing. If you were falling apart, the stage was falling apart around you as well. There's just a lot of creativity here. The actual button input, and that was the worst part of it.
You had to cheat to win.
Right.
Yeah, but the charm, I was bad at this game.
The humor, the self-awareness, all of those things, it just did it for us this week. I believe Kenny and I said yes. Nolan, you went with the no, but it did get our vote for New Game Plus status. Episode 165 was Streets of SimCity. It was a 1997 PC title where you could build cities in SimCity and then drive in them in this game.
A lot of potential.
Brilliant idea.
Good idea.
Fun premise. Like, it's a really cool premise.
Flying cars. Forgot about that, actually.
Flying cars, you could either do it with a cheat code or because this was the hardest game that we played, like to get to play. Do you remember?
Oh, yeah. Because, not like difficulty of game, but
to emulate.
To get it to play on a modern system was very difficult.
Oh, very difficult.
This was the one Antonin had to spend literal days trying to play like a minute.
It was actually the first game that we couldn't fully get to play. Kenny got the furthest. Yeah. And so is what we did that week for the episode. We read Antonin's commentary and then reacted and responded to it based on some of the game that we played because of how bad the game is. You're seeing it in the video now if you're watching this video. Like, that's not cheats or hacks. The game was so jacked up trying to play it then, but all the more today, that your car goes flying everywhere. The physics are messed up. The graphics are blocked. Blocky and wonky.
So bad.
It's unplayable.
I also think to get the full effect, you'd want to have spent a lot of time building your city in the other game and then going through and spending time on this one so you can actually explore.
Even then, the like fusion idea is kind of fun, but like
it just doesn't work right.
You go drive around.
No, but it is more than that. There are so many different quests and stuff. I promise you, I grew up playing this game and there was a lot there. It's just not future proof and it didn't hold up well. You literally can't play it today. So it definitely did not get our vote for New Game Plus status. If it was a different era, a different time, maybe, but
no, still wouldn't have.
And this time it was straight across the board and it was a no-go.
The next title that we played is called RuneScape. You may have heard of it. It's a MMO, and it's an old MMO, so much so that there's a newer version of it today. But we played the oldest version we could, which is 2006 Scape, is what fans call it. Old school RuneScape. And I had a blast.
And one of the first games ever that we actually played together.
Yeah,
yeah, and there's one of. I mean, yeah. We've played other games together.
A few. That's why I said one of.
Okay. But, I thought you were just repressing.
But this one is documented on YouTube. In fact, that's what we're watching right now on stream.
This is our introduction where I just died laughing because especially when I didn't know there were. I introduced Kenny and then he waved.
Yeah, he waved. It was perfect timing. You need to go check it out. Did y'all have fun? I want to know what y'all think of it truly.
Oh, I had so much fun playing together.
Okay.
MMOs are a lot to bite off. Playing something that's still like intentionally that old for the type of game. I don't know. And you got to like really grind to get anywhere in this game. It's like chop a tree, chop a tree, chop a tree, chop a tree. But it's not a Parappa song. It's just repetitive. So I don't know. Probably not like for me ultimately, but...
You enjoyed the aspect of being able to play together.
Yeah, but playing together was super fun and definitely a game that some people are going to just absolutely love.
Yeah, you ultimately ended up not giving it your vote, Kenny, but it wooed Nolan and I enough that we definitely got our vote. Nolan, you continue to play weeks after.
I bought membership too.
You bought membership for months a day after.
Like 2 months I played this game just because they have it on mobile now. Old school RuneScape is on mobile and it's crossplay. Yeah. So I was playing it at work.
Great memories. That's one thing that you should definitely go back. We did an audio episode, like for a bonus one for that, where you could listen to us playing together, but it's so much better to go and watch that video. It's hilarious.
I sort of prefaced this game earlier by saying some pinball games are the worst thing that ever happened and that my opinion of them changed drastically. And this, Devil's Crush, is the game that changed my mind about that. If you guys remember, this was also a pinball game, but the opposite of Pokemon Pinball. Kind of dark and sort of monster-themed, sort of dark and foreboding, and you had tons of stuff to do. If I recall, not just two screens, but three levels of screens, little mini side quests of pinball action that like had goals and all boss kinds of fights. Stuff to do. Killer soundtrack. This game was fun for me.
Yes, but it didn't switch from one screen to the next. It had a smooth scroll. Yeah. So it went with the pinball.
That's the way to do it.
Yes, sure. When I was complaining about it initially, I literally meant I didn't think you could do it on more than one screen, whether you tracked or whether you jumped at all. I just thought it couldn't be done well without it being too much of a detriment. But this one did it really well.
This is one of the biggest surprises for me in these last 32 because pinball, I had already said that my where I was is that you cannot emulate pinball well when you take it out of the arcade. You don't have that tactile response. And some of that's still there. However, this one just... Nolan, you said in the episode that it was better than real life pinball.
I still think that pinball's first of all not my thing, so that might be just a loaded statement. But yeah, this one felt like pinball, but way better.
You don't have boss fights in regular pinball, one of the cool things here.
And regular pinball generally is pretty hard. Like you play a little bit and lose a couple quarters and wish you were better at it. And that this you got to play like a video game and have all the experience. It was really.
And Dustin, this is absolutely not your theme, the satanic dark. But you got past that because it's so fun.
Yeah, and I don't know if I can even say that anymore. Every devil game I play, I end up liking. Yeah. So, whatever.
I'm just a devil worshiper.
Man, I'm just a devil worshiper now. But this was one of, if not the first TurboGrafx-16 game that we played. Mm. For how old it is, for being a pinball game, for all of those things, it handles so well. It's beautiful, and it's so much fun. Episode 168 was Wizards and Warriors. This is an early, early Rare title.
Yeah, which, that was shocking.
Right, that was super shocking because Rare we know from like classic, like quality.
Good games.
Good games.
Donkey Kong.
And this is another game that you have to fight all the animals. There's bees and birds. It's all the same that are coming at you.
But at least they did more than just kicking monsters. They had some pretty cool ideas going in this game. Like, I really liked the key finding thing.
Yeah, the different color keys.
Yeah.
The thing that was most impressive to me is that this was 1987, one of the earliest games that we played in these 32 games. And so there was definitely quality there. The graphics are good for that. The handling was pretty good. There's a lot of platforming, and I recall it being pretty good for that.
Jumping sim.
You can definitely tell from the screen at the bottom and how busy and full of information it was and the kinds of things you did that this was early enough that it felt really influenced by non-video game RPGs, still the influence of
D&D.
Yeah, kind of pen and paper and people figuring out how to translate that. I don't think they fully got it yet with this one, but you can see the attempt there. And
I don't remember what I ended up saying on this one. I forgot to look.
I'm looking right here. It was for the NES, correct?
Yeah.
I'm the only one. No, Nolan, you're the only one that did not give it your vote. Mm. Kenny and I said yes, and so it did actually get passed. But it, along with one of the earlier ones I mentioned, is one of the more gettable ones out of these last 32 for me.
Yeah, I'd agree.
This next one, one of us was absent again. Spoiler alert, it wasn't me.
It was me.
It was Dustin. This game.
I was in Haiti saving the world and almost dying.
We forgive you. We forgive you.
Literally almost dying, though. Let's not forget that.
You got... What, did you get malaria?
No. Okay, so yes.
Did
that,
you get malaria?
I mean, I basically did.
He did.
But that's not what I was talking about. I was talking about the, everything. is absolutely like deadly. Guys, come on. I told y'all about this. I almost died. I wasn't able to go off the compound the whole time I was there.
Hades crazy. We know it. And you were not on the show because of it. We get it.
And the game was called Enemy Zero for the Sega Saturn. So Kenny and I tried to take this one on and failed. It was a fine episode.
It's a game that puts the video in video games. Y'all watched a movie the whole time.
We really did. So many cutscenes.
There's so little gameplay involved. It's really just walking around, and there's this weird mechanic where you have to like know where invisible enemies are and not die. It's going for this whole like horror space. Yeah,
it's
horror.
Trying to be like survival horror in space or
and
whatever.
It just ended up being a super weird animated thing, and there's a reason. Yeah,
lots of like menuing and trying to find clues, and I don't know.
It's bizarre protagonist.
Enemy Zero.
You both said no and no. Didn't give it your vote. And you said that it was a good one for me to miss. I didn't need to play it.
Yeah. I think and it landed. Unlike that last time where I think you missed Golden Sun, I really wish you would have played that. This one, it's like we shouldn't have played it.
We should have skipped it too.
You got to come back to a relatively fun game, though, because we left survival horror and went for a little shmup and played the aptly named Einhunder.
I'm new. What's a shmup?
He's new to this. What's a shmup?
Oh, yeah. It's a cute name to call your puppy, or it's a shoot 'em up.
Hey, little shmuppers. Yeah. It is a shoot 'em up that came out by Square in the same year as Final Fantasy VII.
Which is so crazy.
Claim to fame.
Although it totally has that look.
Yeah, they
kept
that. It
looks like a mini game in Final Fantasy VII.
Absolutely. That was what was said when we were playing it. It's a 3D scrolling shooter, and it was from Square on the PlayStation, and it wasn't a JRPG. So that should get your attention right away.
Yeah, very strange.
The unique system of where the gun was and how it was used in the position that it was.
You could buy different or use different guns or choose different ships that interacted with the guns differently. Lots of customization.
Dustin, you streamed this one a lot that week. I remember watching it at work.
I think I've found like the genre that I'm best at is side-scrolling shooters.
Yeah,
space shooters. It was this one. It was Darius Twin. The other ones we played, I've been good at them and enjoyed them. They just do something for me. Do y'all remember the music was really good here too?
It was awesome. Like,
yep.
There's a lot of quality things about this game. Nolan, was this a game that you played early on or no?
No.
I know you did another space
shooter. That was a different shmup called Star Soldier.
Got you. Einhunder was another Patreon pool. I don't remember who submitted it, but it was another one.
Tom.
That was it for sure. Yeah. And, I believe we all gave it our vote, our affirmative, so it definitely got New Game Plus status. We stayed on the PlayStation 3 weeks in a row, actually. So this is week two still on the PlayStation with a game called Spider-Man. And we were coming in to play Spider-Man 2 this week, which was kind of the first free roam through New York City. But instead, we got poison polluting the streets of New York City. So we pretty much had to stay inside the whole time.
I grew up playing this one a lot. This was a renter for me, regular renter. And the whole poison the city thing was just a cheap way for them to be like, you can't free roam. That's not going to be a thing.
Oh, yeah. Here are levels. And we don't have to do graphic assets.
No, it's just
we'll
fog.
Show you this one thing and nothing else. It was kind of cheap.
That being said, this is a Spider-Man game that is up there in all of the list of best Spider-Man titles.
Good
it's
combat.
One or two. And. Yeah. So like a lot of people have a fondness for this game and love this game. And in a lot of ways, it set the tone for what the Spider-Man games were going to be.
Yes. And I think that's where I landed. I think I really liked it.
You had the fond memories of childhood, but it had the collectibles. It had the first bit of kind of free roam swinging, although far from it. It started how you would be able to battle as Spidey. So there are some really good things about that. But it just didn't work for me. Mm. Did y'all remember that it was on the same? It was the same engine as Tony Hawk Pro Skater.
Yeah, that's so funny. In fact, aren't there some like Easter eggs in there?
Probably. You can tell if you know Tony Hawk, then you can tell that in this game from the character models to the handling, all those things. I really just wanted to swing Spider-Man through the air and make him do like a 180 Benihana or something. All of that being said, I did not give it my vote for New Game Plus status, but the both of you did. Yay. And so, unfortunately, this bad Spider-Man game got a New Game Plus status.
Name a better one. PS4 doesn't count.
Spider-Man 2.
This next game was a guest episode game. We had the Gebs on for this episode. And
the lovely Gebs.
The lovely Gebs. Awesome, awesome person. Her channel is amazing. Puts ours to shame. But this game's called Casper. It's about Casper, the friendly ghost. There are many Casper games. This one is actually kind of hard to find if you put them up against the other popular Casper games. This one's for PlayStation. And it was just kind of one that I didn't know existed. But Gebs was like, no, I loved this game growing up. So it's the one we played.
Well, it wasn't. It's not like a classic or anything. It was on the PlayStation, puzzle game. It's true to the film in the way that it looks, but not in the way that it plays. Like, you're not playing the story necessarily. You're going around collecting jigsaw puzzle pieces,
and unlocking like abilities to then go new places.
Yeah, that was surprising.
Castlevania style.
But the thing that was problematic, and probably is just problematic with being a ghost in a game, is that you can't, if you're a ghost, you can just go through all the walls.
Why don't you just go through the walls?
You don't need all these abilities.
It's a little silly.
A few things. Broccoli was a key component in this game.
Carrots, too.
Nolan was upset that Casper was too translucent, which he's a ghost. He's a ghost.
Yeah, but I can't see him.
Nolan said it was like Resident Evil. Kenny said it was like Metroid. I promise you that happened. Go and listen to the episode.
Yeah.
What's wrong with me?
Well, okay. Nolan did not give it his vote in front of Geb's face, but and Kenny I redeemed it. And Casper is New Game Plus.
Y'all lied because we had a guest on.
That's not true.
And you can admit it now when she's not here.
Little game.
We're moving on.
Gebs, we're on your side.
The next game, episode 173, is Phantasy Star Generations of Doom.
That's a title.
It's a mouthful of a title.
This was the Clouds one.
This was the Clouds one. That's literally all I remember about this game is how much I hated it.
Yeah, out of all the bad things you could have said, you were like,
there were lots of bad things.
One that's like, what about those clouds?
And we were like,
they drove me crazy.
We're like, what about them?
There they are, right there, those clouds.
I know that's news.
Hey, this was a cool premise. Do you recall? I've never played any other JRPG or video game like this where you play different characters throughout the game. You have different protagonists, and
their family.
They are the descendants, of the previous
generations of Doom. Is talking about actual, literal, like family generations.
But depending on the choices that you make and who you marry, that dictates who you're going to play.
And that became a thing later, and still is a thing. Like in the Fire Emblem games, they did kinship where you marry characters and then they have kids and then they become units later on in the story. I actually really love that mechanic, and this was I guess one of the first ones that did it, but they didn't pull it off very well. The combat sucked.
I was just reminded about the poison mechanic that you can't 100% cure.
Ever, not even an inn.
I think maybe with an item you can, but you had limited item slots, limited money. It was the worst poison mechanic. It was the worst battle system. Oh, no.
The wind-up
thing.
The wind-up toy.
Oh, no. Yeah. Okay, out of all of this, Kenny, you gave it your vote.
What?
Well,
we surely did not, though, right?
Me.
Kenny, I'm looking, and I just listened. Sega Genesis, Kenny gave it his vote. He said yes.
I think I know why he did. Because he likes old school JRPGs.
I do. Just that, like, the RPGs from that era, a nice repetitive music and kill some enemies, that definitely, like, is a go-to comfort place gaming-wise for me. But outside of fixating on the clouds, I don't remember a lot of this game, so I don't know. I'm going to trust myself and say that it's better than you guys give it credit for, though.
Episode 174 was another Capcom NES partnership. We've done a few of those with DuckTales. Did we play DuckTales? Yeah, DuckTales. Yeah. And we also played the Huey, Louie, and Dewey Ducks?
No, but close. That's still that DuckTales. You're thinking of Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers.
Yeah. Chip and Dale. But this one was Tailspin, which was a spin off.
Of a
show that shouldn't have been. Like, it was a spinoff of The Jungle Book.
Okay. It was a spinoff of
Here's
a spinoff.
The deal. You need to quit knocking the TV show Tailspin, because it was amazing and probably defined my childhood.
Well, it wasn't amazing enough to have Kenny on the episode. Again, not entirely sure why, but you're with us for this episode. It was a scrolling shooter in which it had a flip upside down mechanic, which I approved of.
Yeah, it was actually, it was way better than I thought it would be. I thought it was going to be like really bad, but then I saw Capcom and I got a little hope. And after playing it, I mean, I'm not going to watch the show, but it's a fun shooter. Like, it's a good NES title. It looks really good too. I like the graphic style.
Graphic style worked. The flip upside down mechanic was weird and took some getting used to, but once you got used to it, it felt pretty good. If the flipping upside down actually changed the direction of the screen, huge. So you could fly backwards and get items you missed.
And I like the collection aspect too.
Yeah.
If you're going to do something as unique as let your airplane go upside down, which is ridiculous, you might as well make it sort of game defining, and like they owned it. They've always done a good job of saying, like, if we're going to do something unique, like, let's fully commit to making the game work for it. And it seemed like they did that here.
I'd recommend you play it, Kenny, if you ever feel like revisiting Tailspin.
Sure, first played it.
He did the first play. He did the first play.
Oh, sweet, so I played a little bit, not like far into the game, but I messed with it.
And in this thing, you use the money you collect to get upgrades to your ship that lets you shoot more pea shooters and that lets you fly faster. And like, there's a lot to this. Nolan, you and I both gave it our vote, our affirmative, so it got New Game Plus status. I imagine Kenny would have as well.
I think so too, especially since he loved the show.
Off the
Karnov. Y'all know what that means? That's the next game we played. I don't know what it means. I guess it's Russian.
The guy's name at least.
Well, but no, like, it's not even Russia. It's somewhere else.
Tajikistan?
Okay. That's a place, I think. And Karnov's an NES / arcade title. We played NES, or at least I played NES. I don't know what y'all did.
I played both, but we landed on NES because it better. Like, arcade was better. Graphically better, Kenny and I thought, Nolan did with, but NES gave you, it was more forgiving, I believe. Like, you could get hit once, turn blue, still be alive, if you guys remember. And arcade is one hit kill.
It's just a strange game, and I remember like moving left to right, or whatever your input is from moving, also changes what item you have selected. Is that?
Oh yeah. Oh,
that's so frustrating. So bad.
What? Worst item selection. And then you can get up to three bullets you're throwing out. But if you got hit on the NES, it takes it down to two and then down to one. And then when you get the power-ups, it's just the whole kind of setup is bad. The platforming is bad. I know what drove you guys crazy, Nolan in particular, was that falling mechanic where you cannot control your movement as you fall.
That's
terrible
for a platformer.
Yeah, it felt really bad and drove me absolutely crazy. And the fact that you were punished for taking life with like functionality, the whole like ammo upgrades versus life stuff, those two were just big, big hurdles for me on this one.
We all three gave it a no go, and Karnov was not New Game Plus certified.
Collecting all those Ks.
The next game that we came to. Episode 176, I'm so happy.
Yeah, I know.
Is Diablo 2.
The best game of all time?
This was before we were best friends with David Brevik.
It was, yeah.
It's true.
That was before he called us and was like, I love y'all's podcast.
Can we join forces? Now, that's not true, right? But
no,
he wouldn't consider us friends, probably. We're at least acquaintances. But either way, we actually know and have interviewed David Brevik now. Like, we can say that as we're talking about Diablo 2. Even when playing this, we wouldn't have thought that, right?
It was crazy.
Right. But now we can look back. What a cool guy. It was awesome to have him on the show. We'll talk about that shortly. He wasn't on to talk about Diablo 2. This was actually an episode we did in honor of one of our earliest longstanding patrons, Zion. And it was my first time playing Diablo 2. I had played a rough go with you guys. But
yeah, we tried to force you to play it a long time
before.
That
was wrong of us.
And we did a really poor job of introducing you to the game, kind of turned you off to it, which is too bad. But
because this game, y'all are playing it the right way, and I play story like rich. But
there's nothing wrong with that, especially the first time you pick up a game like this and play. Honestly, you should have probably played it single player, gotten through the whole story, learned the mechanics, and then gone back and done the multiplayer, like, you know, loot hoarding thing. We just had done all of that, and so it really was a little unfair to you.
Amazing game, though. Like, every time I revisit it, it's
what a great evolution of Diablo, which you know, we played the first one on the show as well, all absolutely loved it. It took that, added more classes, more creativity, more cooler loot, neater options of items and stuff you could do, and this is definitely one of those like top games ever games for me, for sure.
I did enjoy it with you guys and gave it my vote along with you, but I did say at the end that I still like Diablo 1 best. And
I'm okay with that.
It's right. Yeah. I don't think anyone's going to be mad about that are fans. I understand that D2 did things better, but there was just a unique beauty and charm, and it was my first entry, right? So like all of that was new. There was a terror that D1 brought in the dungeons that D2 didn't quite get there, although I didn't play all the way through D2.
So no, maybe it never gets as heavy. It's a little cartoonier.
It's more spread out.
Yeah.
You have different places you go to, all of those things.
Yeah. You didn't get that butcher encounter.
The first battle, right?
Yeah.
And then episode 177 was one of the most recent games in the timeline that we played called Ratchet and Clank. And this game blew my mind and I...
It's so good. It's such a good title.
So good. It was one of the first games that we played on the podcast that didn't feel retro to me.
It felt wrong the whole week. This one was ahead of its time in many ways, I think. Graphically, gameplay style, it kind of set the pace for a lot of those like collect-a-thon games, but it wasn't a collect-a-thon. It was just a really well-designed, fun, interesting game.
And good story and the characters. Ratchet's great, but Clank?
The characters, dude.
That cute little robot?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That they extra nailed character it on the adorable factor there.
So good.
I've heard really good things about the rest of the series as well. I can't wait to pull that on some on the episodes and play some of the on the podcast. I just... progression from the melee wrench attack to all the guns, dozens of guns that you can get in control of. It was the first game that we played, I believe, that you have control of the camera. It's got the two analog sticks,
right?
So you can have control of the camera. Game changing. The weapons, you've got this vacuum sucker one that you can shoot enemies back out. It was just one the of charm, them. So many good
things. The humor was like so... It was funny. Like a lot of those games that try to go for humor just don't succeed. But this one had like stuff you didn't catch until like a couple minutes and you're like, oh, wait, that was pretty funny.
Yeah. Great, great tone. Huge variety of places you could go. Fun mechanics, fluid. It was a great game.
All of our vote for New Game Plus status and PlayStation 2. So super recent.
Next up, we have Final Fantasy VIII. Was this a Patreon pool? Patreon pool. This was submitted by someone that really wanted us to play Final Fantasy VIII.
Presumably.
Final Fantasy VIII is known for being... it's probably the least liked in the series, one of. And... I went into it kind of open-minded because I had never played it, and I don't listen to like the bandwagon opinion. I really wanted to see. It wasn't as bad as people say, but I can
graphically. I went in remembering that graphics were so rough and bad, and there are some moments where the polygonal nature of the time period show, but the graphics were beautiful. The backgrounds,
it looks all right. Cutscenes were
looks
great.
Good.
Cutscenes were great. Music was great.
The cutscenes were great. I just hate the characters still. After playing it, I was like, I'm not attached to any of these characters.
That's the biggest flaw, I can tell. Like, if I spent the full amount of time to play through the game, I really need to like the characters. And yeah, the main character, I was like, all right. Like, all the main characters in Final Fantasy have that angsty tone to them. But with Squall, I was like, you suck. Like, yeah. There's nothing fun about you.
This one was also notably bad at just starting the game.
Why?
The whole kind of, like, you didn't jump into story or anything. It was just
sort of like, a while.
Here you are at the school. Yeah, tutorial. Go read up on all the training or else just, like, go wander around and don't know what to do.
The battle system was wonky, too.
Battle system was all right. The magic draw system, that was
what... That's what I'm talking about.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's exactly... That's what he means. That's weird.
Had potential.
Once you learned it, it was kind of intriguing, but the whole... Have summons, but they can also be your magic, but then you can also use them as summons, but they're not really summons, but you can also level them up, but they also level you up. It was not super clear, and I don't know. Maybe once you get to know it really well, there's some intriguing interactions there or something, but it didn't vibe for me much.
Well, we're terrible people, and we didn't give it our vote for New Game Plus. Bradley ended up writing in, and I think we agreed with on this. At least I did, that it's a good game. It's just not a good Final Fantasy game. Mm-hmm. And so
Breach,
because of that, did not get our vote.
Rugrats Totally Angelica came next.
Woo!
That's a game?
Upgrade.
So Game Boy Color and exactly what you would expect, a kid's game, but instead of making a good one, they made a bad one.
I didn't play it on Game Boy Color.
But Nolan on the episode was like, wait, that's not the one I played.
Yeah, that was a goof on my part. Though I do think I played the better version. Pretty sure.
If you
I don't think there's a good version of this
exactly.
game.
Exactly. The whole premise is that you are playing the antagonist of the kids game of the kids series.
Yes. Like,
it's,
yes. Even that could be fun if they did it right, but no.
But okay. You're... It's a game of mini games, which that typically doesn't work. They think that's what makes a kids game.
WarioWare, boys.
This is a worse Mary Kate and Ashley.
I was
going to
say, can I ask y'all a question? Mystery Mall or Angelica?
Out of principle, I'm not even going to answer that question.
No, you
have principle, I'll answer for both of us. Mary Kate and Ashley, Magical Mystery Mall.
I agree.
By far better. This, you had to play the mini games over and over again on each level. Then you had to do a fashion show where you dress up a little girl to be raided on by her kid friends as well as like grown dinosaurs and old men.
Y'all are perverts. Y'all are perverts for playing this game.
Reptar is a pervert.
Yes, he is. Extinct pervert.
Kenny, at this point, you gave this game your statement of worst game we played. So it overtook one of the early.
I thought you were going to say still, New Game Plus.
Do you still harbor a disgust for this game, or has it faded?
I mean, I obviously remember how bad it was and have already ranted about it. Rugrats was a great show, so it's a shame that they made such a bad game. Games catered to like little kid audiences are going to just have a really hard time with us, but even for that, this one was especially bad. So yes, I'm sticking with my guns. It was terrible. I'm not sticking with the worst gun, though, because I don't feel like it.
The next game that we played was I Have No Mouth and I Must Scream.
This was a very interesting one.
Do you guys remember that monologue?
Yeah. What did it end with?
Hey.
Like,
Hey.
But it was the first game that we played based off of a sci-fi short story. Maybe the only game based off of a sci-fi short story.
It messed me up, dude. I remember this one messing me up.
The whole thing was it was trying to be like psychological.
Yes, and it's a serious game. Like,
absolutely.
It's not a fun game.
No, it's got heavy topics that it covers in weird ways with no redemption. And I'm just like, it kind of messed with my mind even after we were done playing. I was like, why did someone write this? Well, that's not fair.
I want to say, as a story, I could totally see it, but why did they decide it needed to be a video game?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think you can do that. And the writer of the short story was the director of this game and even did some of the voiceover. So,
Michael
like,
Jackson.
He was. And so he was like super involved in this. And it was a point and click, but it wasn't like a hunt for the pixel. Like, there were certain puzzles and tasks that you had to do. And I wonder, though, because it is completely story based. Did any of the story stick with you guys? Do you remember any scene or story element from it?
I remember pieces of the different stories and what they were about, but I didn't like feel super attached to any of the characters. I just felt like, okay, you're trying to do weird, disturbing, angsty, like awkward ethical dilemmas just because you can. And I don't know.
I played the female character. I forgot her name, Anna or something. I did like that character, and I liked her story.
The color yellow in the elevator?
Yeah, like it was
those
actually
stick with me.
Really good story that stuck with me. It's just like it was sad and dark, and it wasn't a particularly fun game.
I gave it my vote. You two did not, so it did not get New Game Plus status.
Mm. Next up, we have a racing game called LEGO Racers. Yes, that is LEGO, the block toy company. And yes, racer as in driving cars. And it's kind of trying to be Mario Kart. I think it tried to do that. But based on the title, I knew I was not going to be into this game. I don't know about y'all. I thought
there's
I played
some
it.
Throwing the word racer in the title is a
good okay. We're not
game.
There yet.
We're not there
but
yet.
But LEGO games are good. Those are
often
fine
very
games.
Good.
A lot of them, yes.
But this one didn't really feel like LEGO. There wasn't much LEGO to it.
The customization felt LEGO-ish, but then like
you could totally build your own car completely out of LEGOs. That's pretty advanced. Now, it was a little wonky to do it, but the idea of it was super cool.
But then the item collection, the battle side of it, the Mario Kart style of it, wasn't executed well. And like the way that
you
picked up...
I like the idea of being able to upgrade your stuff, like collect one thing multiple times to get a better version of it. Was a kind of fun premise.
It makes sense, but it didn't work.
I'm already going to make the jump and say it was better than...
are prematurely making that jump. The levels are boring. It didn't feel LEGO. The different carts weren't inspiring. You're playing the same cart over and over again. It just... Kenny, I remember you liked it. I believe you even gave it your vote, but it did not get our vote for New Game Plus status.
Too bad.
So sad.
We already, after you gave me a hard time about preempting, we've already preemptively talked about this next episode.
Davey?
Yeah, because we had a special guest come on for episode 182, David Brevik. And because we'd already played Diablo 1 and Diablo 2, and because the three of us didn't especially care about any of his other games. I mean, there's other stuff he's put on, but those are the ones he's known for. We decided to talk about It Lurks Below, the game that he's been working on and designing and releasing and producing himself.
By himself.
And it's now out. We played it at the very late stages of early access. And it's not retro. And it's not retro.
That was a first.
We made a big decision to play a retro style game.
Does that really bother you, Dustin? It does bother me, but if we're going to make an exception, I think the exception can be whenever we have the creator of Diablo come around, we can make an exception.
Yeah.
We can talk about whatever we want.
He can do whatever he wants on our podcast.
That's the thing. There's a few things that Shigeru Miyamoto wants to come and talk to us. We will.
Who?
Shigeru Miyamoto.
Oh, right. Oh. My favorite streamer.
Shigeru Miyamoto, the new Nintendo guy.
Bowser. I really love this game, and I'm so, so, so blown away that it's just him. When you consider building an engine, graphics, music, and have a balanced game, not everyone can do that.
Yeah, player's choice, boys. I obviously liked it a lot, too. Yeah. Put tons and tons of time into it, but it really only played one character. So I'm looking forward to getting the chance to go back and look at this one again. And yes, just super fun. Kind of Terraria survival 2D RPG. Tons of fun loot. Tons of really cool upgrades. It's challenging enough, but not like punishing. And just fun in tone as well. Like this one was a big win, even if we hadn't had the creator who was... an awesome, important gaming person as a guest. But that just made it super double fun. As
he was so like, humble and easy to talk to.
Yeah, what a cool guy.
And the game itself is great, but the episode is a lot of fun. It's an hour and 22 minutes. So there's a lot of it. But in there, we interview him about a lot of things, his gaming history, his development history, D&D. We asked his thoughts on Diablo 3 and Diablo Immortal. And so if you want to hear the creator of D1 and D2 talk about D3 and Immortal, go listen to the episode. Mega Man Legends for the PlayStation was the next game that we played, and it was a super different Mega Man. Kenny pretty much thought it was just absolute garbage. It came out as a total departure from the series. Same character, some of the same themes, but Kenny's like, no, it did none of the same thing.
It didn't. Like, so, by super different, you might mean super bad, but it was not a good game.
Kenny's just like all these other haters out there that are like, it's not a real Mega Man game.
I am like every other hater.
Listen, just enjoy the game for being a really sick adventure game, a really good 3D adventure game that is also Mega Man. Like, no. I get so frustrated when people hate on this game because it's legit good. And I think, Dustin, you ended up saying the same thing. Or at least in part, because I was desperately wanting some backup on this one.
I had a lot of fun this week playing this, that week playing this game. I liked that it felt like Mega Man in the sense that, like, I could upgrade the Buster and I could get his helmet and different things like that. It was a total departure from the series for sure. Very different. But it was after all of the 8 original games, a few into the X series. And so they wanted to go with an action adventure game, try something different. And I thought in a lot of ways they did really well with it. I get, Kenny, you don't get the boss abilities. And so that kind of throws it off. But for an action adventure game, for what they were going for, I thought there was a lot of charm with this game.
Yeah, charm. Yeah, sure.
Like, it wasn't a great game on its own. And even if it was, it's not a Mega Man game. And
I'm going to push off.
I don't know. It did not do it for me.
I can see how this game for sure could be divisive, though. So, I completely get that.
The next game that we played was another Patreon poll? Am I
Shenmue? I don't think so.
I thought it was, but I may be wrong.
Y'all can think it, but it wasn't.
Okay. It was Patreon poll, and the game's called Shenmue for the Dreamcast.
Dreamcast.
Shenmue is another one of those cult classics, or at least games that have a cult following. I guess that's a safer way to say it. And it's a very interesting, like, detective style game.
New genre, yeah? Like, that's what they try to create, a new genre with it. No, we talked about that in the episode where they were like going. It's a realistic hyper realism where time passes, not to the same minute that ours does, but time passes. And so you're living out days while you're also doing a fighter and trying to solve crimes.
It's just like it's almost a sim game.
It was really, really ambitious. And I can give credit for what they were trying to do. And big props to the cute little cat.
That was
one little cat.
Yeah, but I don't know. It was trying to be too many things without doing any one of them well. And I think it probably had a big influence on, like, gaming afterwards, but isn't a game that I'd want to go back and play that title specifically.
There was something about it that just gripped me. Like, I love how true to, like, historical information they were, and
crazy amount of, like, research and accuracy on those things. That's
it
super
was
cool.
It was one of the games that I've thought about most since playing it.
Nice.
And one of the few games that I play anytime I play a game after we record an episode. I
that's
like
a really
it.
Good sign,
because we always have a new game to play, but for me to take time to go back and play a previous game, that means something.
Episode 185, The Outfoxies.
The Outfoxies.
Outfoxed me. I wasn't around for this one, so I probably shouldn't be the one to talk about it. Fill us in. I you know, listen to you guys plan a little, but, like, fighting game, arcade, predecessor to Smash Brothers?
Stop.
I don't know. Tell me about it.
It's not a Smash game.
I love it,
game.
Kenny. Yes, it is. No, it's a Smash game. It's pre-Smash. It
and
did it better.
Shouldn't be. No, it didn't. Stop.
It didn't do it better.
There's no way it did it better.
It set the scene for what Smash would be.
It's a weird fighter with ginormous stages.
Changing. Adaptive stages.
Adaptive stages, which is pretty cool. but they're massive and your characters aren't really fighting. Like their inputs are whack and you're picking up weapons to win the fight and it's frustrating. It's not Smash Brothers and it sucks.
It's a good roster. They don't have their own abilities, really. They just pick up weapons. So that's kind of the bummer that Nolan and I both kind of came into.
Dweeb.
Dweeb the monkey is one of the characters there. You've got another guy in a wheelchair. You've got the creepy twins. Like there is some true quality to this game, but we didn't end up giving it our vote for New Game Plus status. I think that it was probably one where, no, we both said no on this.
Yeah,
one.
It wasn't fun. It wasn't a fun game. The one thing they got right was the roster. You need a cool roster, an interesting roster for a fighting game, but everything else, I was just like, no.
Yeah. And then episode 186 was Esper Dreams. Dream. This was a Patreon pool. And was it the start of our summer pool party?
I feel like that. Yeah, it is. Because I remember announcing the pool party on Shenmue's episode.
I believe. And it was our first Famicom Disk System game, which we're probably not going to have many of those because it's not just the Famicom. It's like the floppy disk version of the Famicom.
Yeah. Weird. You have to flip it to save it and then flip it again to start playing again.
Yeah. This game and Shenmue were probably the two out of these 32 that I remembered and thought about most afterwards.
Yeah, this one's super unique.
This one's super unique. The battle system took me by surprise, and I really enjoyed it in that it puts you in this separate battle inside of a box that you have to fight the enemies with. You don't have a sword, but you have this little water gun at the start and you can upgrade that. But it was just a really unique battle system that I really enjoyed.
And y'all been talking about things that stuck with you. I've probably thought about this game the most. And it's because, I don't know if I mentioned this on the episode, but I love the Earthbound vibe it had going. Like,
it does.
In style, kid, like an overworld like the different worlds were unique. Like, you're in a giant room, like you're tiny and everything's huge.
Some of the color and all of that. It never, Kenny?
It didn't have the tone of Earthbound.
I'm going to push you off a cliff. What does that mean?
I don't know. This was
good response there, buddy. Well thought out argument.
Okay, here's what I gotta say.
Sword
you gotta
me.
Be dreaming to think that it's in the league of. Yep.
You gotta be Esperin with
just
that
joke. Just because you make a comparison doesn't mean it's in the same league as. But this game came out before Final Fantasy, and so it was an early JRPG that, if I I'm trying to remember the item system and stuff, because that's always sketchy early on. But this was an early game, 1987. It's not easy to play today because it never came over to America.
Learned Japanese.
Yeah.
We all learned Japanese this week. No, we got a patch for it, for sure, a language patch for it. But we ended up giving this game our vote for New Game Plus status. In fact, all three of us said yes on it, even though the difficulty ramped up like nobody's business in this late game. I got to the final world, the final level. Man, it gets really tough, but it was quality enough for us to say, go out and play it.
Next game's whack. It's called Cyborg Justice for the Sega Genesis.
Just start there.
I mean,
I'm actually okay with that.
I don't know how to describe what the game was going for. It's a side scroller beat 'em up, and you're a cyborg. You're actually a human, technically. Your brain is in a machine, and you're trying to escape and just fighting other Borgs. There's some customization, but not
bosses that aren't really bosses.
They're just more enemies.
It was a pretty bad game. I will say the idea of like pick completely separate components and totally mix and match customization still just rings so good with me. And like the premise could have made a really, really good game, but we're talking, you make a completely different game, like start over from the idea on a napkin premise and just like have a whole different team build it, because this one was steaming.
Good idea. Poor execution. Each level's the same.
Rockets from the side. For no reason.
Button combinations to do the fighting was just silly. Again, good idea, poor execution, did not get our vote.
I'm so happy that I got to introduce Parappa the Rapper. Yeah. And now I also get to jump into episode 188 Gitaru, man.
Gitaru.
The game that you would, the game that you would think came out from the same creators of
Yeah.
You would.
It totally feels similar in time. This is also a rhythm, a music kind of game where you're literally leveling up on playing a guitar and saving the world by being a guitar superhero and fighting enemies. And super interesting sort of implementation of music with the joystick and the buttons, where you had to actually move your joystick around and follow the music and then trace hit buttons it in time. Cool game.
Extremely anime.
You just kind of explained the control system. It was the, I said it on the episode, it was the perfect method for playing guitar with a gamepad.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Before, this is pre-Guitar Hero, so before you actually had a guitar in your hand, to do it with a controller, it actually at times felt like you were playing the guitar, because you were doing one thing with one hand, one thing with the other. I thought it was really good. One of the things that I've wondered when we recorded and when I listened to it since, Kenny, you on the episode thought that you knew what my favorite battle in the game was, and then you went with it when I said that it was the acoustic battle. Did you really know that? Did you really think that? Okay, you did?
Absolutely.
I just couldn't tell if you're just going with it and saying that and you thought it was something else, or
I knew you'd love it.
Okay.
Like, partly just because I know, like, some of your musical tastes and some of those things, but also your how you vibe with story and, like, it changing tone and then, you know, having this whole love thing go on, especially once you figure out how the game ends later.
Like,
you don't even realize how cool that scene is until the end of the game, and it's already blowing your mind with how cool it is. So yeah,
I'm glad that you and I, Kenny, found some great love for this game, because Nolan didn't like it as much as we.
Yeah, I'm watching this footage right now, and I think it was actually well executed, but there was something about it to me that I was just like, it wasn't vibing.
Well, you're wrong on that one, buddy, because it's a great game.
Super hilarious. Go out, play it, love it.
Or not.
And love it and play it.
Episode 189 was Star Wars Episode 1 Racer, and I will start and just say it's bad again. It was true to the movie, and like, it was the pod racing, and you get that, but it just wasn't fun.
I gotta say, this is a personal thing. Racing games start on a bad note for me and have to really climb and do a lot of cool things for me to be like having fun with it. So I already have a bias. And when you just throw a movie name on it to sell,
yeah, that money, really bothered you this week.
I don't know. It's dumb. So dumb.
I also didn't give this one New Game Plus, but I didn't hate it nearly as much as you guys, I don't think. I felt like because they were trying to make it like the movie and did a really good job of emulating that, and then, I don't know, like, as a racer, it was pretty good. There's people that really, really love this game. If you're a big racing fan, I can get it. I just needed something else. Like, I wish that they had gone with, like, the movie as a basis, but then I don't even know. Let it be a little bit more interactive and let you force push some enemies out of the way, or let you do anything that
he
was
didn't know,
like,
how to do that.
Not just drive in circles. Like, you got out in front and then just won, or else you didn't.
It did
or
have good handling, though. I will admit that.
It did have really good handling, I thought.
Absolutely. Like, the racing pieces of it were well done.
It was somewhat bland in my opinion. But this is one of the ones that I can admit that we maybe got wrong. I mean, I didn't like it. We didn't like it, but there's a lot of people that like it. And still, even today, I was told by someone, hey, I listened to that episode and I've got a bone to pick with you because you didn't like this game.
Well, keep picking. I'm not changing my opinion on it.
That's fine. It didn't get our vote. We just didn't. It didn't work.
Yeah. And some of that's, you know, bias just in game styles, but
kind of, yeah.
We also can have fun playing racing games. I don't know.
And
I'm with
biased.
You guys ultimately on this one, but do think that it's probably a more lovingly crafted game than we gave it credit for. And that if you do like this game, like, by all means, love it. It just was not our cup of tea.
The next week, we took a complete 180, a left turn, if you will. and played Symphony of the Night, Castlevania Symphony of the Night, called Soten often. And it's such a freaking good game that I'm actually going to play it during the 24-hour live stream.
It's the Vania to the Metroidvania.
Yes, it is.
Apparently. You still don't fully know what that was.
Because
Vania is cool to say.
Ben challenged us, and not us, he just challenged society on that. Like, why does Vania get credit? And we don't know, actually. I still don't know.
Oh, no, we don't know.
But it's good.
But Nolan, you know what I'm about to say because I believe that you saw the image I posted in Discord. When I played a lot of the game the week of and admitted to y'all at the end that I'd beaten the game, but I had not yet fully cleared it. I can now say that I have gotten 200.6% and fully completed this game.
Like, seriously? Congratulations.
Very nice.
That's a big accomplishment.
Two weeks. And this game absolutely shocked me to the core in a good way. Absolutely wonderful. Makes me want to, although I think it's a bad idea, go through the series chronologically, like in the timeline of the story. But I know that they're not all this. They're platformers for the most part.
I like that that's what you said. I was a little worried you were going to say makes me want to be a vampire. I was like,
he's already a vampire.
Yeah.
Dustin, I don't think you'd like a lot of the other ones. They're hardcore platformers, but I'd love that if you did and streamed it. I'd watch it every time.
I want to for the story, although there's not tons and tons here, but I don't know if I'd be able to get all over the gameplay because I know that some of the early ones. However, Symphony of the Night, absolutely astonishing game. We all gave it our vote, and it is New Game Plus certified.
Next game up on our retrospective is Resident Evil. And this one is a special episode. We are playing it to play with Limit Break, who's going to come on and be a guest.
So yeah.
Big shout out to him. I think he may be watching us record this episode live right now. And so we look forward to having you on the show. That's going to be super fun. Thanks for picking this game. If you're confused about the way I'm talking about this game, it's because we are recording this recap before being done with playing this game. So we don't actually have a lot to say about it yet because we haven't finished the experience with it. But if you're listening to the recap now, we also played that game. Go back, listen to that episode. Give it a whirl. We got a special guest on. It's going to be a really fun episode.
Very quickly, here at Retro Recap 7, I know it's been a long episode. We have 32 games to get through. Questions that I've asked at the end of each one. Guys, take a moment. What two questions? What game would you encourage people to play out of all 32 of those episodes? What one game would you encourage people to play? And what one episode would you encourage people to go and listen to?
I'll jump in because easy second answer.
You don't even have to jump in. Just go ahead and do it.
I've already jumped.
Banned word, remember, Kenny?
You feel like you got to jump a lot. We banned that phrase.
You banned it. I'm okay with it.
All right.
I'm pro jumping in.
I will slowly back out and then proceed back in and say It Lurks Below with David Brevik as a guest is for sure the one you should go and listen to. He's just a super neat guy. Getting the history of some of those games was fun. It was a huge honor having him on the show. And It Lurks Below is also a really great game in its own right. So, give that one a listen.
For the episode to listen to, I would say Devil's Crush, just to hear how it took all of us by surprise that week. I had It Lurks Below on my list. I didn't want to double up with Kenny. That's definitely go listen to that. But Devil's Crush as well.
And I'll say Parappa the Rapper is the episode you need to listen to. It's it's up there with like the rest of the NGP memes. It's not a meme, but it's a fun episode for the same reason, Dustin. We just kind of were like, what? And then we gushed over it a little bit. And then I'll just start for the recommended game that I think you should go play, being Devil's Crush, because of how shocked we were that how amazing it was. Yeah, I would definitely go back because there are obvious answers I could have said here, but I'm going to definitely go with Devil's Crush.
And the game that I would say it's no surprise is Symphony of the Night. Yeah. Everyone needs to play that game. It's beautiful.
I'm having a harder time picking here, so I'm just going to cop out and give you three answers. and tell you that I would have picked between one of these three if I was more decisive. Einhander, Diablo 2, Guitaru Man. All great games. You should play all of them. Pick one.
That is Retro Recap 7. Thank you guys for listening to us. Thank you guys for joining us for that live stream. Thank you for bearing with us. We're going to continue the live stream at the beginning. But you can always find us on social media, on our website as well. We appreciate your love and support for listening to New Game Plus podcast. Until next time, I'm still Dustin.
I'm Kenny.
Nolan.
And this has been New Game Plus.